Hello from Valley Baptist Church in Eureka, Montana. Valley Baptist Church is an independent Baptist church serving the greater Eureka, Montana area. Pastor Matt Schrepfer is the pastor. His wife, Juanetta, serves along his side.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to gather together, and we often call this in the house of the Lord, and certainly we recognize the church is the people, not the building, but it is good to gather together. As Valerie plays through a few verses for us, let's take a moment and prepare our minds and hearts. Songbooks to number 28, How Great Thou Art. God certainly deserves our worship.
Joy shall fill my heart when I shall shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, thou art, how great thou art.
When Christ shall come with a shout of acclamation, what a joy will be on my heart. I hope yours as well. It's good to meet together today, and I'm looking forward to this hour and the rest of the day together as we have opportunity to minister up at Mountain View Manor this afternoon. Welcome, everybody. Glad you're here. Let's begin in prayer right now. Lord God, I thank you so much for who you are, that you are holy and righteous and in absolutely every way perfect. Thank you that you have made yourself known to us through the Bible and the Holy Spirit, and even in a limited way, nature. Thank you for that which is around us and that we just sang about from the lofty mountain grandeur and the sound of a stream, all of it we recognize does help us know for sure that you have made all things with a purpose and an order. Father God, I ask you that in this hour together that we would accomplish the purpose that you have gathered us for. Thank you for everyone who is here. If there's someone, Father God, that hasn't yet made sure of their eternal salvation, that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they would talk with me or someone else and make sure that they have heaven as their home and forgiveness of sin. Father God, I also thank you for your word. As we open it, let's do so. I ask you that you'd guide us to do so in a way, in a manner of worship, as we sing together and fellowship together. Lord God, in every aspect, in the giving, may it all be to bring honor and glory to you who deserves it all. Father, I ask you that you would care for physical and medical issues. Lord, we ask you that you would meet those needs as well. Thank you again for your grace to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's go ahead and sing our next song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, 106, and then, man, you come and receive the offering.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. Why the Father turns his face away, which mar the chosen one, bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulder. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no riches, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer.
open your Bibles today for our scripture reading to Zechariah 14. Follow along as Tom reads verses 1 through 5. Zechariah 14.
Good morning and welcome, everybody.
Good morning.
Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the woman ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as she fled before the earthquake in the days Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come with all his saints with thee. Amen.
Thank you, Tom. Remain standing as we sing Jesus is Coming Again, 589. Yes, there will be a day when Jesus returns to this earth that he will fight for Jerusalem. Remain standing as we sing Jesus is Coming Again.
Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be, Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower proclaim, mountain and meadow the same. Jesus is coming again, standing before him at last, trial and trouble all past, crowned at his feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again.
Thank you, everyone. You may be seated. As far as children's church, I guess that's taken care of. So I'll just briefly mention we will be continuing our series in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 today, and it speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Alan started a series in the adult Sunday school class today. If you haven't been in our adult Sunday school classes, I challenge you, you need to be here. We are studying now the doctrine of eschatology, or future things. And Alan introduced to us today, once again, that at least a quarter of our Bible, when it was penned or written, was prophetic in nature, future things. Some of it's been fulfilled, but the majority is yet to be fulfilled. And the big event of all of prophecy, the most prophesied event of all time in the Bible, is the second coming of Christ. The first coming over 300 times, but this one, the second coming, the next coming of Christ, which we just sang about, yes, he is coming again, is the most prophesied event in all of the Bible. As we consider that, I'm going to read, and I'd like to have you keep your finger in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, I'll start at verse 27 when I get there. I'd like to just have you follow along, and then we'll pray together. In Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 27, this is what we read. Whoa, let's see. I was one page off. I think the fan did that. Okay. Matthew 24, 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we consider 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 today, we realize it is also a description of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth again. History and your word and many other testimonies prove that Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born in Bethlehem, just as Micah foretold. And also, Heavenly Father, in every way fulfilled the prophecies of his first coming. But Father God, we realize that there is a next time that Jesus will come back to this earth. First, he'll come in the air to receive us up to be with him, and then after a few years pass, he'll return again, as the scriptures say, and his feet will be placed, he will stand upon the Mount of Olives, just as Tom read for us, and he will make all things right in this troubled world. He will fight for Jerusalem, even though Hamas and others right now are fighting against Jerusalem. Father God, we realize in that day, you will turn all the bad and change it for your honor and glory. And Father God, I ask you that in light of that, it would make a difference on how, in how we live right now, that we would be ready for that coming, whenever it may be, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe even this evening. Father God, we realize that we need to be ready for that. And I realize that Paul wrote to help us, to challenge us to be ready for that next event on the prophetic calendar. Father God, I ask you that you would work in and through your word, coupled with the Holy Spirit in us, to make a difference in our lives today. For your honor and glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We left off last week at verse 8. In our Bible passage, we'll pick up at verse 8 once again and go through verse 13. The beloved Apostle Paul wrote the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote of that in verse 13, where he said, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." When he returns, all the saints will return with him. All believers will return with him. Have you ever anticipated someone coming to your place for a visit? All of us have. Of course we have. Maybe family, maybe a friend. How about a famous person? Have you ever anticipated a famous person coming for a visit? Well, one time Juanetta and I anticipated a famous couple coming to spend a few nights with us in our home. Dr. Gerald Weber and Kathy, and of course the Jenungs know them. Dr. Gerald Weber is listed as a who's who in America. Dr. Weber had been the Pacific Rim Director for Baptist Mid-Missions. That takes in all the way from the North Pacific to the South Pacific. And he directed missionaries in dozens of countries around the Pacific Ocean. At the time, he was the president of Continental Baptist Missions. And we anticipated their coming to visit us. And without question, we ought to anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ more than we would the Webers. You guys all understand that. Did you get ready for their visit? We did. We got ready for the Weber's visit. Did we wash the bedding? Sure. Do you vacuum and dust? Sure you do. Do you prepare meals and have one ready when they arrive? I'm sure you do. Do you have transportation ready for them and anticipate it? You anticipate these things. So do we. Have you ever been surprised by an unexpected visit? I see some nods, yeah. It's not always welcome, it should be, I suppose, but it's not always welcome. I'll try not to do this to any of you, by the way. But our pastor in Alaska, bless his heart, that's a southern way of saying anything you want to say, right? Yeah, Pastor Blood asked if we'd be willing to host a missionary and last minute sometime. And we said, sure, Pastor Bud, anything for you. Boom. I don't think it was a day. And knock, knock, knock on our door. And missionary Polly Strong from Central African Republic was standing there with Pastor Bud. And he said something like this: "You said you'd take in a missionary at any time. Here she is." That's about how he operated. It was a surprise visit. We had no clue. But Juanetta was always ready. She's that way, and I'm proud of her. I'd like to have you look at Matthew 24 again. I know I went back to 1 Thessalonians for a moment. We'll get back to 1 Thessalonians, but in Matthew chapter 24, as far as this unexpected aspect of the Lord's return, it surely shows up here. It's not the only place. There are several. Acts chapter 1, it also shows up there. In Matthew 24, verse 35, we read, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words," Jesus said, "shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man." No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus said that. And I'll read on. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." The point is, We don't know. It will be a surprise visit. Paul wrote about this surprise visit from the Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth so that we would be ready. If that's the only point made today, that is it. We need to be ready when he comes again and not caught by surprise. We may be caught by surprise, but will we be ready is the point. When the Lord Jesus returns to this earth and lands on the Mount of Olives, as Tom just read, it will be a very dramatic and unexpected visit. People will be caught off guard and not ready. The Apostle Paul wanted the dear believers in Thessalonica to be ready at all times. In the next chapter, chapter 4, Paul writes of the next event on our prophetic calendar, if you will, the prophecy, the rapture of the church in chapter 4. When that happens, believers will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Look at verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's something to sing about. There's the song in our songbooks, number 587. I guess I'll have you turn to that just for fun. Let's go to 587. Valerie, you don't have to get up. This is not worth that. 587, the meeting in the air. Sing along with me. There's going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you, greet you over there in that land beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious when we are there. And God's own Son will be the leading one in that meeting in the air. It's coming. It's going to happen. Soon after the rapture, by the way, the world will be plunged into a time of tribulation. And I'm not trying to steal Alan's punch in Sunday school. If you want to learn a lot about this stuff, be an adult Sunday school. But this world will be plunged into a time of tribulation such as never, ever has happened in the past and never will happen again. That tribulation, you can read about it in Revelation chapters 6 through 19. Church-age Christians will be with the Lord because we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. And unbelief will mark the day on earth. It will be horrible. People will consume each other. Well over half the earth's population. I can't fathom it. Will perish during those days. And at the end of that terrible 7 years of tribulation, many will believe. Many people will believe, but most will not be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth, as Tom read about. You see, there are two: a return or coming in the air, and then a little over 7 years later, a return to earth. We'll try to keep these two in order. But be sure of this, both times, many people will not be ready. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus told a parable about this, where there were 10 young maidens, and 5 of them were ready, and you guessed it, 5 of them were not. We have several songs in our songbooks about that. Number 593 is, will Jesus find us watching? What about 590? What if it were today? And then similar, 582 is maybe today. We could sing about this. And the reason songwriters have written about it is because that's the point. So what is all the hubbub? What's the big deal? Well, the Bible and Bible-believing Christians both emphasize the Lord's coming. And, on the other hand, the majority of humanity could care less. They live in neglect. They ignore it or even mock it. The watershed is this. There are those who look forward to meeting their divine sovereign and those who don't want to meet him. Why? Why? Because they do not want accountability. They want to live any way they want to, at any moment, without consequences. Our dear granddaughter, Katie, when she was 4 years old, asked Juanetta, Grandma, may I use your scissors? And Grandma said, sure, Katie, as long as you don't cut up anything you shouldn't cut up. And so she let Katie play with a pair of scissors, was gone for a little while, came back in the living room, and Katie had cut holes in her pants, and she'd cut up one of our pillows. Juanetta said, Katie, what are you doing? And it wasn't a trick question. It wasn't a trick question. And Katie said, it's okay, Grandma. I know I did wrong, and I asked God to forgive me, and he forgave me. And Grandma said, well, that's good, Katie. I'm glad that God forgives us, but there's still consequences. And she went, no, not consequences. Okay, back to our subject. People don't want to think about this or acknowledge it or even mock it, if you will, because they don't want accountability and consequences. Though they will, face it, those who take mind-altering drugs want the temporary thrill without consequences. Does that work? No. Those who practice adultery or homosexuality want whatever temporary twisted thrill it offers without consequences. Those who find spirits in a bottle of alcohol want the temporary escape without the consequences. The transgender transitioning that we hear so much about nowadays, of course, the LGBTQ plus is a lie. It's a lie. There isn't such a thing that a person can be anything he or she wants to be at any time they want to be whatever they want to be without consequences. They ignore the mental disorders that go along with that. They ignore the high suicide rates among their number. And the physical diseases that go along with that lifestyle. There are consequences for all these things. Whether you bury your head in the sand or not, it will bite you. And the answer is not in a political party or a candidate, for they all want votes and they offer little or even no consequences for those who practice such stuff as this. In this election year ahead, you may have to vote for the lesser of two evils, but vote. Make your vote count for what is the best possible scenario, because the answer to sin, the answer to lying and murder and theft and illegal border crossing and all that stuff are not found in the political arena. It is not a political candidate or a judicial system that we trust for the solution, is it? It better not be. It is in God alone that a solution is found. Personal freedom from sin's consequences are only found in Jesus Christ, dear friend. Now back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. As Paul addresses the subject of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he emphasizes the importance of standing firm in God, honoring character, so that when he does come, we are ready. Look at verse 8. for we now live. I'm sorry, I said that backwards. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. The phrase, so number one is stand fast in the Lord. If you're standing fast in the Lord, you'll be ready when he comes. Stand fast is the Greek word stēkō, and it means be stationary, of course, or persevere. Persevere in the Lord. Here's what 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, and some of you have made this a family verse or whatever. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Ephesians 4, verse 14 says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. God says to be ready when Christ comes. You and I had better stand fast in our faith and not be easily persuaded by anything else but God's truth. We are to be in a state of persevering when he comes. That's the point. Paul says, when he comes, be in a state of persevering, standing fast. Verse 8. Let's look at Philippians 4, verse 1. Go back just a few pages in your Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. That is just a quick sample of the many passages that tell us to stand fast in the Lord. Okay, now back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Paul wrote again of his desire and prayers towards seeing his brothers and sisters in the Lord. He looked forward to seeing them face to face. One purpose was to fill in any gaps in their Bible understanding. Verse 10 says it this way, well, verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. He wanted to be with them. One of the reasons was he had only been with them 3 weeks, and so he realized their Bible knowledge was still limited, and he wanted to help them along the way. By the way, that is one purpose for a local Bible-believing church like ours, like Valley Baptist Church. Ephesians 4:12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, building up of the body of Christ. That is one of the reasons we gather as a local church. We must all be actively seeking each other's best, edifying each other in the faith, which means not tearing each other down. That's the opposite. I think you got that. In verse 12, we find another preparedness for Christ's coming. And the second one is increasing and abounding in love one toward another. Verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. The word increase here comes from the Greek word which means to make more, increase, I understand, and is usually translated abound. Right now, in your garden, in our garden, we could say, the Greek word is pleonazo. It means abound. We're seeing abundance in our gardens, and it means by extension superabounding, because the word shows up actually 3 times in this one verse. So it's like a superabundance of love that God wants us to exercise. Because of the next word, Abound in our Greek is another word meaning abundant, and sometimes it's translated exceed. So the idea is a super abounding or a super abundance. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Go back a few pages to Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verses 20 and 21, the last two verses of Ephesians 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, that's super abounding, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Okay, that's Jesus Christ, can do beyond what we ask or even think. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That is how Paul finished what we call the third chapter of Ephesians. Of course, the idea is he wants us to abound or superabound in that godlike love for each other. That is agape love, and it is an unconditional, sacrificial love. The love that Jesus expressed for you and me when he died on Calvary's cross. We didn't deserve that. It was unconditional. He did it because he's God, because he loves us so much that he is the one, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5, verse 8. That is the state Jesus should find us in when he comes, superabounding in love for one another. Then Paul stretches us a bit here, and maybe out of our comfort zones, at the end of verse 12, where he said, and toward all men. And toward all men. All? That doesn't mean everyone, does it? Yes, it does. That's the straight of it. So that will take us out of our comfort zones at times, won't it? Sure it will. And that will take some work on our part and the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he, in Philippians 4, verse 13, said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That will take some help to love all men like Christ loved us and superabound in that. Well, the Bible says it, and it wouldn't say it if we couldn't do it, and so in Christ we can do that. Now, the purpose or the end of that kind of love for others is stated in verse 13, to the end. So there's a purpose in verse 12 to make you increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. The purpose in that is to establish your hearts. Verse 13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. God wants to develop a character of holiness in us. If you were tried in a court of law for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you or me? Be sure of this, dear Christian. We are going to stand before our sovereign someday, and he is going to judge our works, our deeds, our words, our motives, our thoughts. The desired end is that we are found unblameable when he comes again. It means irreproachable or without fault. Now that sounds tough, but that's a high goal. It's a respectable standard to strive for, a target to shoot toward. Some people have been able to bowl a 300 game. Has anyone ever bowled a 300? Okay, nobody in this room. Some have shot a perfect target. Some of you may have. Some have taken a test without any wrong answers. I hope some of you have been able to do that. And these things and others are accomplished sometimes in the human world, but they can be done. It's a honorable goal to strive for, isn't it? It can be done. The Christian is not left alone to reach this lofty goal of being found unblameable or without fault. We have the whole Godhead on our side. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all on our side to help us achieve that mark. Unblameable in holiness. Unblameable in holiness. This word, holiness, properly means the quality of being set apart unto God. Now, this old world is all around us. It's all around us, and it is not holy. But yet it affects us, and the Lord God wants us to be set apart out of this world unto Him. Are you allowing Him to establish your heart unblameable in holiness? Is that how He will find you and me when He comes? Is that how He'll find us? He will present us to the Father as His bride someday. Look at Ephesians 5 for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. I'll just read a few verses here. Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. And this is instruction both ways, to husbands and wives, and to the church in regard to our relationship with Christ. Verse 26 says that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So there is a sanctifying, a setting apart unto God also through washing from the word of God. Verse 27, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's God's design for us as individuals that are part of the church. Before I wrap up, I find the last four words of Ephesians chapter 3 encouraging. They do. The last four words of chapter 3 in 1 Thessalonians, I said that wrong. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, the last four words, with all His saints. I find that encouraging, by the way. If you and I have been taken up to meet Him in the air, we'll be with Him. How long? We'll ever be with the Lord, it said in chapter 4, verse 17. We will return with Him back to the earth someday, once again, as it says in Revelation chapter 19, as Alan, so with a great big smile on his face, said, riding white horses, right, Alan? Let's look at that. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. We'll leave 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 behind. Go to Revelation chapter 19. We'll look at verses 11 through 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. This is the first glimpse of the returning Jesus Christ to this earth. Verse 12, His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven, that would be us, by the way, followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That speaks of holiness, dear friend. Someday we will be washed white and clean, and will return with Him. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So ultimately, the cleansing of our hearts will be completed by him, and we will return with him. The last four words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 is an encouragement to me. I hope it is to you too. If you don't find it an encouragement, search your heart. Maybe you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. So to wrap up, let's look in 1 John. If you're in Revelation, go back a few pages to 1 John 2. And we'll look at verses 28 and 29. 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. The Apostle John wrote this. 1 John 2, 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If or since ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doth righteousness is born of him. Are you born of him? Are you born again? If you have any question mark in your mind, you take care of that matter today. And then you'll be ready when he comes for you. Make sure so that you are ready when you meet him, one way or another. Here's another question. Are you abiding in him, as we just read in 1 John? Gaining your strength from him for daily holy living? Not only can you must. Will you be confident at his coming and not ashamed? That is a matter to take care of between you and the Lord. I challenge you right now, as I close in prayer, you take care of that matter before the Lord. I'll give a moment of silence and then I will pray. But you take care of anything that is outstanding that needs to be taken care of, so that if Jesus came back before you opened your eyes, you'd be ready. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God, you know the hearts, you know the intent of our hearts. You know our thoughts afar off. You know if there be any wicked way in us. Father, I ask that you would cleanse us and prepare us for that glorious meeting with our Lord and Savior in the air. Heavenly Father, I also ask you that whether we pass from this life and then are caught up to meet him in the air, or are still living when he returns, which could be at any moment, that we would be ready. And Lord, I thank you that you have promised, if we have trusted him as our personal Savior, our sins are forgiven, we're cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will return with him, with all the saints together, and ever be with him. Father, I thank you for that. I ask you that if there's someone here that is still taking care of a matter before you that needs to be taken care of, that you would do a special work in them, that the Holy Spirit would strengthen them and help them to do whatever good thing it is that you have for them, and especially, Lord, taking care of any sin that needs to be confessed. You have told us that if we confess our sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we do that daily. May we make sure, Father God, that we're ready. Our sins are confessed before you at any moment and every moment. And also, Lord, that we're abiding in our Savior, trusting in his strength to live unblameably before you in holiness. Thank you for this passage, which is such a challenge to me. I trust it is, that the Holy Spirit challenges everyone present here today as well, and that matters are taken care of not just now, but for the rest of our lives while we wait for our Savior to return. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'd like to ask us to open our songbooks now and closing to number 383. And pay attention to the words as we sing The Solid Rock. Please stand as we sing 383 together, and then we're dismissed.
Valley Baptist Church has multiple services. Sunday school is at 9:45 a.m. The morning service is at 11 a.m. The evening service starts at 6 p.m. There's also a Wednesday night Bible study at 6 p.m. Additional men and women Bible studies are also conducted on a regular basis. Other activities include monthly potluck meals, monthly men's breakfasts, and much more. Valley Baptist Church is located at 64627 Highway 37. And that's in Eureka, Montana. Our phone number is 406-889-3134. Thank you for joining us for this audio sermon.